Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music there as well tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 3. And I was going to go somewhere else tonight as far as the message I'd bring with it being Vacation Bible School, but the Lord didn't give me peace about that. I wanted to continue with our study in the book of Joshua, and I think it would be very appropriate for what we have going on tonight. The nation of Israel, God's chosen people, they failed to go into the promised land 40 years earlier, and they failed that. They went back into the wilderness, and they were wandering in the wilderness until those that failed to go in died off, and then the new generation of believers there, of the children of Israel, are ready, and they are back at the doorsteps of the promised land. And the promised land is symbolic of the will of God for their lives. Not heaven, it's the will of God for their lives. And so they've been struggling for 40 years. And now they're right at the entrance into the promised land. But what's guarding the promised land is the Jordan River. And the Jordan River at this particular time would have been a flood, and it was overflowing the banks. And so they would go to the Jordan River only to realize they could not go into the land without the help of God, without the miracle, without God working His miracle to allow them to cross the Jordan River. And so they're here at that point. We've been studying that. I love last week because last week was God magnified Joshua, who would take over, not to replace Moses. You couldn't replace Moses, but he would have a position that to lead the nation of Israel as Moses did. Now Joshua is at the helm, and Joshua would be the one leading them into the promised land. And God magnified Joshua in the eyes, in the sight of Israel. And as they looked to Joshua, then Joshua glorified God and led the people to look to God. And what a blessing it is if you think in your life, God brought somebody into your life. And if you will, He somewhat even magnified that individual in your eyes so that you could look to that individual and allow that individual to be used of God to help you in your walk with the Lord. Maybe to lead you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God brings people into our lives for a purpose. And the first purpose is that He would use them to help you to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and have everlasting life. There's not a greater thing that you could do for anyone else other than lead them to Jesus Christ. And if you know of anybody that's lost, let God use you to lead them to Him. And what a blessing that was. We studied that last week. Well, now they're ready to go in. They're looking to follow Joshua. Joshua has given them some instructions. And let's look here in chapter 3. And go ahead and stand with me if you would tonight. We'll read this together. Verse 12 down to verse 17. The Bible says, "Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above. And they shall stand upon a heap." He's going to stop the waters of Jordan and allowing the people to walk across on dry ground. "And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city, Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, again, as we bow before you, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. I pray, God, that you would just help us to put everything else out of our hearts and minds for just a few minutes here and focus on this passage of Scripture and the preaching and the teaching of your word. I pray that you would empower it once again tonight. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So now, after 40 years, they've come to the banks of Jordan. Just look at it. It's very fearful. Sometimes the will of God for your life can be very fearful. If you don't understand it, you don't have faith, whatever might be going on, to think that that's for what God would have me to do, that's how God would have me to live in the midst of a different mindset of a world. And it can be kind of fearful there, but they were there. And as they were there, they realized what God had told them, and they were expecting God to fulfill what he had told them that he would do. And so they're ready to cross over Jordan, inhabit the land of milk and honey, the promised land, because verse 13, God had told them what he would do. Now, this is God revealing to them before they would ever go to the banks, this is what you can expect. This is what's going to happen. And it shall come to pass. It's going to come to pass. As soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, when those that are bearing the ark, when they actually, they won't see a sign. The waters will be flowing. It'll be over flood stage. And with it being flooded and the waters rushing, they're going to actually take the ark of God and they're going to step into the waters while they are overflowing the banks, while the swift current is moving. They're going to walk into this water. And when all the when they shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan, God says, once they're in there, shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. That's what's going to happen. God tells them this. It shall come to pass. They needed to know that. Now, get a hold of that. They needed to know what God had just told them. You say, why did they need to know? They needed to know because God told them. If they didn't need to know, God wouldn't have told them. He would have said, just do what I say to do. But they needed to know. What God was going to do so that they would do what God would tell them to do. If I can know, I need. And not only do I need to know, but I want to know all that God has revealed to me. If I didn't need to know it, then God would not have revealed it to us. Whatever we can understand, there's so much in eternity, there's so much in the will of God and the ways of God that we cannot fully understand. But the things that we can understand are the things that God has revealed to us. And what God has revealed to us that we can understand is what I need to understand. And as I know that I need to understand it, because God wants me to understand it, then I want to understand it. Did that make sense to you? Not only do we need it, but we ought to want to receive what we have need of from God. You see, if I do not know what God wants me to know, I'll be more likely to believe a lie. If I don't know the truth that God has revealed to me that I need to know, then I'm more susceptible to believing something that is not biblical. I'm more susceptible to believing what the world wants you to believe. I'm more susceptible to believing what the devil wants me to believe. But if I have and I understand and I know what God has revealed for me to know, then I can see the difference between what God says and what the world says. I can see what God says and what the devil says. I can understand the truth. And the truth will set you free. 2 Thessalonians, that's a biblical principle we find throughout the Old Testament. God wanted them to know what he had for them to know. They needed to have a desire so that they could do what they needed to do to learn what God had for them to know. In the book of 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, Paul writes to this believers in Thessalonica that had believed a lie. They had been deceived into thinking that the rapture had taken place. And God wanted them to know what they could know about the rapture. But we find here, so Paul writes to them, and he says in chapter 2 and verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," that's the rapture of the church, when the beginning of the coming, the second coming of Christ will be, he's going to rapture the church out. That's believers. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him," that's the rapture, that's what's going to take place, "that ye be not soon shaken in mind." Don't have all the wrong, don't have the wrong thinking. Don't believe the lies of the devil. Don't believe the lies of the world. You need to have the truth of God in your mind, because you need to know what I have given you to know. "That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled." If you don't know all that God wants you to know, then you're going to find yourself troubled, fearful. Because the devil would love to work through fear. And God does not give us a spirit of fear. But the devil will, and the world will. "So that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter." Something that somebody's telling you that is better than the Bible. There's people out there that want you to think that we've got something that's better than the Bible. "Nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." That's what they're confused about. That's what they're blinded to. Because they're blinded, they're troubled. Because they're blinded, they're fearful. Then Paul says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come." What you're troubled about, what you're worried about, what you're fearful that you missed the rapture, "That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So, he says, what you need to understand is what the Bible has revealed to you that you should understand and not be confused by other things coming from man, coming from the devil, but focus on what I have revealed to you. Before the rapture, there's going to be a great apostasy and Antichrist. That's what's going to happen. Now, listen to me. Before Antichrist, there would need to be a pro-Christ age. There need to be a Christian age. There need to be a time when Christianity would be received, Christianity would be understood, Christianity would even be a part of the world, an accepted part of the world, let alone in the United States of America. Before there's going to be Antichrist, that is just an anti, whatever the teachings of Christ is, anti-Bible, anti-whatever God has revealed to us as being God's will for our lives, God's way for us to think, anti-Christ. Before there can be an Antichrist revealed in society, there had to be a pro-Christ. If we look at the United States of America and look at our great history, there is no doubt we are pro-Christ. To the place that people would come to the United States of America for the freedom of religion. Christianity is what's allowed every other individual who believes something different to come into the United States and believe whatever you want to believe. Because you can't force Christ on anybody. So yes, as we look to the last 2,000 years, and especially if we look, even go a little farther, and we look to the establishing of the 1776 United States of America, can I tell you that in the world, it was pro-Christ? There was a lot of other religions. There always has been. There's always been a lot of other beliefs. But in general, especially in this great nation that all the other nations look to, they want to be American, and they would be Christian to come to be American. They would understand that what makes America great, and I've been on many a mission field, and they would ask me the question, how did America become so great? Why we want to come to America? I said, it's not the people. The people are no different than you. I said, what made America great is America's God. What made America great is America's faith. What made America great is America's churches influencing the minds of people to believe in God and to trust the Bible as being the very words of God. This nation was pro-Bible. To be pro-Bible, you have to be pro-Christ. Amen. There's no doubt. We look at our government and we look around and everything that's brought up to where we're at today, and it was pro-Bible for the most part. But can I tell you that what is happening is America is no longer pro-Bible and America is no longer pro-Christ, and we are seeing Antichrist. So what does that tell you? We're in the last days. How do you know that? Because God tells us that. And so because we are experiencing what we're experiencing, are you going to be afraid? Are you going to be troubled in mind? Are you going to see it and say, yep, that's what God told us would happen. I'm not going to give in to it. And I'm going to fight and do everything I can to win the loss and to help people to have pro-Christ mentalities, but I'm not going to let an Antichrist mentality cause me to be fearful, because I know what I know because God's revealed it to me. And he's revealed it to you. It's something you can't know because it's in the Bible. God tells us what's going to happen before the rapture of the church. God told us what would come to pass and what we can expect of him as it comes to pass. Because not only is it a revelation, but it's also a promise that I can know. I need to know every bit of future prophecy that the Bible reveals to me because it will come into play in my life. For me to fight off the philosophies of the world. For me to fight off the Antichrist that is becoming more and more evident in the world. I need to understand what the Bible says about that. And along with understanding what the Bible says about that, which is prophecy or revelation, I also need to understand the promises of God that are associated with my life during this time of this church age. So we need to keep God's revelations and promises on our minds at all times. We're going through the things of this world and we're facing the things that we have to face. What is the best thing for you to keep on your mind? Is the revelations that God's given to us. Because when you know, the end of the story is we win. Christ is going to rule and reign in righteousness on the earth. On the earth. This is a temporal life. I'm going to die one day. Whenever God chooses to call me home, I'm going to heaven. I am not going to die. I'm just going to be translated. I'm going to go from being having this earthly body to one day having a glorified body. I'm going to go from being limited by this flesh and by the world that I'm living to into a new heaven and a new earth that I have no limitations. That'll put a smile on your face. Because that's a revelation. That's what God's revealed to us. We can understand that. We can know that because God says, this is what's going to happen. You need to know that. If you didn't need to know it, I wouldn't have put it in the Bible. If you didn't need to know it, if you couldn't understand it, I would not reveal it to you. But because I have, you need to understand it. And you need to keep it on your hearts and on your minds. You need to live your life with this truth. Never go without it. Wow. Yeah. So God's revelations, future prophecies, there's going to be great apostasy. What's it going to be an apostasy? What are they going to fall away from? Christianity. Pro-Christ. He says concerning the apostasy or the future revelation, then there's going to be a rapture. But the rapture is not going to take place until the work of the church has been completed. What is the work of the church and what is completing that? Look with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. He's told us this. It's written down. It's in the Bible. You need to know. I want to know everything that I can know. What has to take place before the rapture can take place? Apostasy, okay. Antichrist, okay. The work of the church. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom, the gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's what people need to hear to be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom of shall be preached in all the world. Wow. How long has it been that you can understand that the entire world would have access to the gospel? Can I tell you, it's part of the technology that God knew that we would have at this end day. There's no technology that God did not understand, that God did not give to us. And technology can be used for good or for bad. Just like that gun. Don't blame it on technology. Blame it on the person that is using that technology. I'm all for using every bit of technology to do what God would have us to do, and that is to reach the world with the gospel. That, one of the reasons it's kind of getting harder and harder for us to stop live streaming is because live streaming, our missionaries around the world can actually watch our services and be encouraged and be blessed and be helped. And not only can they watch it, anybody can get on the internet anywhere around the world and they can plug into Lighthouse Baptist Church services and they can hear the gospel and they can be saved. There is no doubt in my mind today, the gospel is preached around the world. But that had to come to play before the rapture could take place. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. God wants you, a just God, wants you to have an opportunity, and it'll be a witness, and then shall the end come. The end being the end of the church age. The end of the church age takes place with the rapture of the church. Whew. That leads me to think, it could be tonight. Because every bit of prophecy that needs to be fulfilled, everything that God has told us that needs to come to pass before the rapture has taken place. Couldn't have said that not too long ago. But today, I guarantee you, God wants us to know everything prophesied before the rapture has taken place. So we better be living every day of our lives as if this could be the day. Yeah. Which, if you're saved, it's not fearful. It's not troublesome. It is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Yeah. So I've got all the revelation leading up to the rapture. Now, after the rapture, we've even got more that God wants us to understand. Glorified bodies, millennial reign, new heaven, new earth. Yeah, all those things are coming. But then we also have God's promises. Promises of he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Do you know that? Do you keep that on your mind? If you don't keep that on your mind, if you're not careful, then you're going to believe a lie that God has forsaken you. God doesn't love you. God doesn't care. That's not what the Bible says. I have the promise. God says, Joshua, let the people know this is my revelation. This is what shall come to pass. When you do your part and you get into the river, you're not going to see a sign. You're not going to have anything else happen. But when you fulfill what I have you there to fulfill, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and the rivers will part. The waters will stop. They'll dry up the ground, and you'll walk over on dry ground. I want you to know that. That's what's going to give you the strength and the courage to step into the water. What's going to give you the courage and me the courage to continue to live for Christ is to know what God wants us to know and to hold on to the promises that he gives us. My word shall never pass away. All things work together for good. I'm in control. Romans 8:28. That's a promise. It's a promise to you who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. It's to you. You have to qualify that promise, but if you qualify for that promise, accept it. God says, I'm going to work in your life for my will, and my will is what's most important in your life. So just yield to me no matter what I allow to come into your life. Let me strengthen you by it. So keep it on your mind. Keep everything that God has revealed to us that we can know, learn it, know it, hold on to it. Joshua chapter 3, go back with me. I got to close here, but that's a powerful principle, biblical principle there that is seen and taught throughout the New Testament as well. Chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. As the people knew what would come to pass, they acted out of faith to do what they were instructed to do, starting with the leadership to set an example. The leadership of Joshua, the leadership of the priest taking the ark, stepping into Jordan. The waters of Jordan are still rushing. But they believed what God has revealed to them. They believed what was going to come to pass. They accepted it. They had the promises of God. It allowed them to step into the water. Remember Peter? Lord, I want to bid me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, well, you need to have your faith increased. Come. He walked on water. We focus too much on him sinking, but before he began to sink, he had the faith to step out into the water, and we stepped out into the water. He walked on the water. When he took his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at the elements, is when he started sinking. When he stopped understanding the promises that God had given to him, when he stopped understanding the revelation that God had revealed to him, he stopped thinking about those things and he started focusing on other things and he started to sink. Faith will keep you walking on the water. Faith that calls you to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish. Faith led them to step into the water. As soon as they did their part, the water stopped. The flow of water stopped. God tells them exactly how he did it. Did it far enough away to where he blocked off the water and the water started heaping up and flooding out one of the cities. But when it came down to Jericho, that's where the waters parted. And God dried up the land right then and right there. And they walked over on dry ground. Their faith turned to sight once they got in the water. Now they're in the water, and they seen what God had told them would take place, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a very heap, very far from the city of Dam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, those waters stopped and were cut off. And because God cut off all the water, no water there right beside Jericho, they passed over on dry ground. Their faith turned in to sight. They believed God would do it, and then they seen it happen. Do you believe God's going to answer your prayer? Then as you pray, start looking for it to happen. Amen. Because when you start looking for it to happen, God will, if the answer is no, God's going to help you to see that it's no. If the answer is yes, you're going to experience the answer that you wanted to have revealed. But the main thing is that you're looking to God. And your faith will be increased because you'll see God's presence. You'll experience God's presence. Even if the answer is no, God will help you to understand the answer is no. And once you understand the answer is no, and that is the will of God, that will bring a peace into your life that will far exceed your understanding. It's not always yes, but it's always answered if you have faith to believe. And you look for the answer. The answer's there. They believed God would do it, and then they seen it happening. I'd love to have been there. I'd love to have been one of those priests that helped carry the ark, waters flowing, winds rushing, all the different things. We step in, and we got on our mind, God told us to do this. God told us to do this. I don't know, but I believe God, and I know God's able, so we're going to do it. And then when they stepped into the water, and they automatically they started seeing the water abating and the water backing up, and the ground started drying up. I don't know if he sent a great wind to dry it up or if he just did it himself, but the ground started drying up, and they're standing there saying, "Woo! what an awesome God." Have you ever had an experience like that where you say, "Woo! What an awesome God." And God confirms that he's answering your prayer in a way that only you and God will know it. But you know it. You know it's not coincidental. You know it's God. And my faith has even increased more so. And I'm even more eager about getting out there and learning more and having more understanding. Keeping that on my mind at all times. As was happening, the Bible said, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over, and they're all hooping and shouting and praising because they're passing over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. If you are not in awe of God, it's because you haven't understood everything that God has revealed to you about himself. You don't understand everything that God has revealed to us about prophecy, about revelation, and about promises. If you have all of that knowledge, you're shouting. Because you see God as being the awesome God that he is. I could have every head bowed tonight. We serve an awesome God. We really do. God has given us so much. Do you know everything that God wants you to know? Are you claiming every promise that God has given you? If you're not, you're more apt to believe a lie. If you're not, you're more apt to fall in a devil's snare. I want to know all that God wants me to know. I trust you do as well. Father, we bow before you. Thank you for the truth of your word now. Pray that you'd help us to make an application. If we need to make a decision tonight, Lord, during an invitation is an opportunity for us to make a decision. Help us, Lord, to make the decision that would draw us closer to thee. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen.